We begin this morning in the United States, where the presidential hopefuls will meet for their final debate this afternoon. But first, the US Senate Judiciary Committee has this morning approved a confirmation vote next Monday for Amy Coney Barrett, Donald Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, left vacant by the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The process was boycotted by the 10 Democrats on the committee, who say the process has been rushed and that the seat should stay empty until the presidential election. All 12 Republican committee members, including Chair Lindsey Graham, voted in favour.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 12 yeas, 10 no votes.
The nomination will be reported favourably to the floor with a unanimous vote.
Of course, the appointment of Ms. Barrett would mark a major swing in the ideological balance of the court, potentially for decades. In an address outside the Senate, Democrat Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the vote was a sham.
Her potential confirmation will have dire, dire consequences for the Senate, for the Supreme Court, and our entire country for generations to come. The Senate Republican majority is conducting the most rushed, the most partisan, and the least legitimate nomination to the Supreme Court in our nation's history. Her potential confirmation will have dire consequences for the Senate, for the Supreme Court, and our entire country for generations to come. The Senate majority is conducting the most rushed, the most partisan, and the least legitimate process in the long history of Supreme Court nominations. Democrats will not lend a single ounce of legitimacy to this sham vote in the Judiciary Committee.
And that was Chuck Schumer. Joining us now is Washington correspondent Simon Marks. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Corin.
This is huge, isn't it, for America's future in terms of the direction of the court?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, assuming now the full Senate confirms Amy Coney Barrett as the successor to the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she will be on the court within a matter of days. And there's no reason to believe that the full Senate isn't going to confirm her because, of course, the Republicans there have a slim majority and there certainly don't seem to be sufficient dissenters or defectors to derail all of this. So at that point, the 9-justice bench will tilt conservative on key issues of social policy. Policy, including, of course, abortion. It is widely presumed that Judge Amy Coney Barrett may vote to overturn Roe versus Wade, that famous ruling back in the 1970s that legalized abortion in the United States. But immediately, she's going to have another issue to confront along with her new colleagues on the bench, and that is the future of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. It is before the court next month after the election, before the end of the year, and there is every possibility that a conservative-minded court will strike it down and declare it unconstitutional, and that has the capacity to leave millions of Americans facing a crisis in terms of what happens to the healthcare proposals and plans that they have in their back pocket as a response to any kind of sickness or illness that they have. So we're heading into a short-term period of potential upheaval, but long-term, at the age of 48, she could be on that court for the next 20, 30, 40 years, and she could be the pivotal vote on the court to set conservative social policy in a conservative direction and on a conservative trajectory for decades to come.
So nothing much the Democrats can do about it in the short term, but help me out here. I keep hearing about this idea that they could somehow increase the numbers on the court, and to segue a little bit, it's an issue that Joe Biden seems to be sort of equivocating on. What is that all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So the 9-member Supreme Court is not prescribed by the Constitution. The body exists in the US Constitution, but the document is silent on how many justices it should comprise. So Joe Biden, if he wanted to, could enlarge the court, especially if he has a Democrat majority in the Senate and obviously the House of Representatives. He could say, let's turn this into an 11 or 13 15-person body and pack it with liberal justices to dilute the conservative influence that it will now have on its majority side. The difficulty with that, of course, is that the next Republican president who comes in can say, right, I'm going to enlarge it to 15 or 17, and you could be into a mad cycle where the Supreme Court just gets larger and larger and larger. Joe Biden has refused to say on the campaign trail if he does plan to pack the court, but in an interview that he's given to 60 Minutes on CBS, which will be airing this Sunday, he has said that he now favours the creation of, you guessed it, a commission to go and spend a year, maybe two, chatting about the issue not just of the Supreme Court, but about judges more broadly in America's legal system, and to come back and make appropriate recommendations. That's going to disappoint some liberal supporters of the Democratic Party who will say, well, hang on a second, that means that for at least the next year, maybe two, the Supreme Court absolutely is going to have that conservative majority baked into it. But for now, Joe Biden choosing to kick the ball into the long grass.
Yeah, if in doubt, set up a working group. Now, let's stay with the 60 Minutes, because so they have interviewed both the candidates, right?
Yep.
And the Donald Trump one seems to have gone a bit skew-whiff, to say the least.
Definitely gone skew-whiff. Look, these candidate interviews on 60 Minutes the weekend before a presidential election are as American as apple pie. Every single 4 years, the candidates sit down for that big end of the campaign interview with 60 Minutes. The two interviews will air this coming Sunday. Donald Trump is furious about the questions that he was asked by Leslie Stahl, senior correspondent with CBS News, and he has taken the unprecedented step of releasing the interview himself on his Facebook page within the last couple of hours. It goes off the rails, you will perhaps not be surprised to learn, when the subject turns to the issue of crowd size at his rallies. He insists he's got larger crowds than ever before. She points out to him that's absolutely not the case. It then goes off the rails again when they talk about health care, and when President Trump insists that Joe Biden is corrupt and that he's leading an organized crime family. And at the end of the interview, this is the exchange that goes down between Leslie Stahl, who's been completely bemused throughout the behavior by the president's comportment, and Donald Trump himself.
I didn't want to have this kind of anger.
Of course you did.
No, I didn't.
Of course you did.
No, I didn't.
Well, then you brought up a lot of subjects that were inappropriately brought up. They were inappropriately brought up right from the beginning. You know, your first question was, this is going to be tough questions. Well,
it is.
And you set up the interview. Your first statement
was... You're president. Don't you think you should be accountable to the American people?
Your first statement to me, this is going to be tough questions. Well, I don't mind that. But when you set up the interview, you didn't say that. You said, oh, let's have a lovely interview. And here's what I do say.
So why?
You don't ask Joe Biden. I saw your interview with Joe, the interview with Joe Biden.
I never did a Joe
Biden. It was a joke. The interview, 60 Minutes. I see Joe Biden giving softball after softball. I've seen all of his interviews. He's never been asked a question that's hard. Okay.
And then comes the moment where President Trump decides to stalk out of the room. What is supposed to happen is that Vice President Mike Pence is supposed to join him and sit down alongside him for the last 5 minutes of the encounter. This is what happens when an aide suggests and a producer suggests it's almost time for the vice president to join the president on set.
5 minutes until we have the vice president step in. Is that about right?
Well, I think we have enough. We have enough of it.
I think we're ready for the vice president now.
I think we have enough of an interview here. Okay, that's enough. Let's go. Let's go meet for 2 seconds, okay? Thanks. I'll see you later. Thanks.
I'll see you in a little bit, he says to Leslie Stahl, and he never sees her again because he then refused to participate in the walk and talk that they were supposed to film when they're walking alongside one another in the White House grounds. It's an utterly dyspeptic performance by the President of the United States. What on earth he thinks he achieves by releasing this, and you could hear from the sound there, this was not the CBS camera that's been released, but some kind of a separate video capture that the White House has somehow managed to produce. What he thinks he's achieving by releasing this, I have no idea.
Simon, just before you go, the debate. So what does that mean going into the debate? Does anyone have any... I mean, who knows? Is it going to be a more restrained President Trump that's going to be focused on policy? Or is it, is he just going to shoot from the hip and go with his instinct, and who knows where it'll go?
I think he's going to go relentlessly after Joe Biden over this story that the New York Post published, unsubstantiated though it is, about Hunter Biden's laptop containing compromising images and compromising documents that, according to the president, prove that the Bidens are an organized crime family. I have absolutely no idea how Kristen Welker, the moderator of this debate, is going to keep the lid on it. She's only able to use the mute button during the first two-minute responses that each candidate gives to her questions. For 66 minutes of this 90-minute debate, there will be no mute button deployed. And based on what we've seen in this 60 Minutes interview, and based on what we know is President Trump's utter fury that his Attorney General William Barr and the head of the FBI have not acceded to his demands to launch an immediate criminal probe of Joe Biden and his family, we are in for another 90 minutes of deeply unedifying fireworks tonight that will almost certainly have absolutely no impact on those very, very few undecided voters out there who have yet to cast their ballots and yet to decide which candidate they're going to back.
Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent, thank you very much for that.